Governor Lamont nominated Christina Guillo to serve as Connecticut's child advocate. She actually is already the acting child advocate for the state, but in February, the legislature will decide whether or not to approve her nomination, where she would serve a 5-year term. And again, this is for the Office of Child Advocate. But what exactly is this role, and how important is it, especially with so much attention on the protection of our children here in Connecticut, with some recent stories, including what happened in Waterbury in February of this year, a man allegedly held captive for more than 20 years, as well as the most recent heinous case out of New Britain, where an 11-year-old girl had been murdered over a year ago, but her body just discovered earlier this month. Christina Guillo, I want to thank you so much for giving us the time. This announcement only happened this week, so I can imagine how busy you are, but thank you for making the time for WICC. We really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for having me, and good morning.
Christina, I want to first introduce you to our audience, let them get to know you a little bit better. I know the governor sent a pretty lengthy press release really outlining your background and your work with child advocacy. But share with us, if you may, like, you know, what your background looks like and just the extensive work you've also done with the state.
Sure. So I've been an attorney for going on 30 years now. Pretty much all of that time, I have represented children. In fact, I went to law school because I wanted to represent children in child welfare cases. I felt that they had a need to have holistic representation. I didn't call it that at the time because I was quite young, but I had a belief that children in the child welfare system needed people who could advocate for all of their needs, including things like educational needs and mental health treatment. So, so that is what I went to law school to do. And I've represented children in juvenile justice cases. So that would be delinquency cases, child welfare cases, special education, disability rights advocacy. I've really focused on ensuring that I understand all of those systems. And so I bring that to the office. I worked at the office previously in 2006 to 2010. And then I returned to the office as the associate child advocate in 2022. And if I can just say, you know, my view is that the Department of Children and Families is really the most, they do the most important work in state government. And that is the reason that we need to have such scrutiny on the work that they do. And that's really what our office does.
I was just going to ask if you could kind of outline better what the Office of the Child Advocate is all about, because I think when you hear that, you know, even just being called Connecticut's child advocate, there might be some confusion for people thinking that this is DCF. You are not. There is a completely different entity. So could you just talk a little bit about that?
Yes, thank you. Yes, we are not DCF. We are completely separate. We are an independent state agency. And our role is oversight for all state-funded services for children. And so I think people can think of that as sort of a watchdog for state-funded services for children, or like an auditor of the quality of services that are state-funded for children. And so we have a number of obligations under our statute. One is that we house the state's Child Fatality Review Panel. We review all unexpected and unexplained deaths of children under the age of 18. The purpose of that review is to understand what happened and identify whether there are ways to prevent future deaths, right? And these could be deaths from everything from sudden unexplained infant death to homicide due to abuse and neglect, right? But we want to understand, are there ways to prevent those tragedies in the future? And also we want to ensure that there's public accountability, right, that we shine a light on the work of state government with the purpose of improving services to children. And so we have other responsibilities in addition to child fatality review. We are obligated to evaluate the delivery of services to children, to review facilities in which children are housed, to review conditions of confinement for children in the juvenile justice system and the youth who are in the adult correctional system. And we have a responsibility to make recommendations about state policy. And again, all of that work happens with a focus on how do we improve the delivery of services to children? How do we make kids' lives better in the state of Connecticut?
And again, we have Christina Gio here, who is has been nominated as Connecticut's Child Advocate. This is for the Office of Child Advocate. And you have been, for how long, the acting Child Advocate for our state?
I have been the acting Child Advocate for a little over a year now.
Okay. And you want the job permanently. And I say that not in a mean way, but it's, I mean, we're having, you know, you talk about DCF, we're having a really hard time keeping a solid leadership commissioner for the for DCF. And it doesn't right. sound like your work is much easier, quite frankly, Christina, but you want this job permanently.
I do. And, you know, it is a challenging job, but it really is a unique, it provides a unique opportunity to improve the lives of children, right? It's a very unique agency. Our ability to look across state agencies and understand what happened in the life of a child and try to understand where the opportunities to help that child were. And then how do we improve on that? How do we make sure we don't miss those opportunities? What can we do to make the system better so that we don't see more horrific tragedies, right? And we probably never can prevent 100%, but we should try to do everything we can to prevent any child death from abuse and neglect.
We're chatting with Christina Gio, who has been nominated by the governor to serve as Connecticut's Child Advocate. She has, for the last year or so, been the acting Child Advocate. But in February, the legislature will decide to give her the position permanently, in which she would then serve a five-year term. So, Christina, we've certainly talked to lawmakers, especially in this last year. We have the Waterbury case that is still being worked out, obviously. And that is the man who was allegedly held captive for more than 20 years. And then, obviously, this month, we learned about just a completely heinous case of an 11-year-old girl who was murdered. And her mom, aunt, and the boyfriend of her mother now facing charges, being accused of committing the crime, but her body not even being discovered or anybody sounding the alarm about her, or at least if they did try to sound the alarm, we heard nothing about it for well over a year. Her body just discovered in New Britain this month. So when you look at these cases, lawmakers, I know in particular the GOP, they've really said, we have to look at DCF. We have to look at system failures. They have consistently said this is not a people thing. I know. I actually have one of my best friends on this planet is a DCF worker. I cannot even fathom the things that she has to do. It's wild what DCF workers have to do. So this is not, I think, a people issue. I do think there is severe understaffing. But this is a systems problem, it seems like, that really dates back decades. And I wanted to get your take on that.
So so a couple of things. First, I just need to say, I mean, both of those cases, the allegations are just horrific. And it's sort of inconceivable that human beings can do something like that to a child. And like everyone, we want to understand what happened, what went wrong, and how could this have happened. I do want to be careful not to get into the facts of those two cases because we have not completed reviews and published reports on those yet. So, but what I can say is when we look at those, you know, certainly we agree we need to look at DCF and understand what would happen and where the issues are. I also want to agree with you in terms of what you said about the work, right? People that go to work at DCF go there because they want to help children and families. And we know, you know, we review many, many, many DCF cases. And what we see when we do that is we see some very good casework And then we see some casework that is not very good, right? There is a mixture. And so what one of the things that we have talked about in some of our previous reports and that we continue to focus on is the need for the agency itself to have really good quality assurance data. But what I mean by that is looking at, are the workers doing what we to do? Are they following policy? If they're not following policy, that DCF, using the information that they gather, can go and address that, right? And provide correction where that's needed. Right now, I think DCF there are a lot of newer workers, which means you have workers who don't have as much experience. There's a lot of remote work, which means you miss out on some of that natural supervision and learning and emotional support that workers get when they're in the office together. And I think that that combination makes the work even more challenging. And so we do need to look at those issues. I want to say with regard to our evaluations, right, we look broadly and deeply. So we will get all of the records, right? We look at DCF, but we don't look only at DCF. So we're going to look at DCF. Well, I don't want to talk about those specific cases, but when we do these investigations, we look at DCF, schools, probation. If there were lawyers involved, what was the quality of legal representation? We want to understand all of those pieces and how they work together. And then again, like where those missed opportunities were to help children, to intervene. So that's sort of what we're in process with at this time.
I mean, I think you have to. Right. I mean, if you really want to help every child, because as you mentioned, every single case is going to be completely different. And right. I don't know if we'll ever live in a world where people won't do cruel things. I hate to say that. So to say that we have the perfect answer to avoid this ever happening again, I think you're right in saying you can't have that expectation. But we could certainly do a lot better, I think, in some regards. And when you have to look at the full picture, certainly. And I know, Christina, there was an interview during the legislative session, which I know is also very controversial. But to your point of looking at everything and how do we make everything better, at least improve upon what is in place. You know, when during the legislative session, obviously it's very split right now, quite frankly. I know Governor Lamont and I would say Democrats in Hartford are more focused on homeschooling and protocols and strengthening those. Whereas the GOP, it seems, is more focused on, well, let's fix if we've got understaffing or we've got broken systems or we have things that aren't working for DCF or DSS, things like that, then we should be focusing our energy and our time into better supporting those workers and having systems that work in place, whether they've been at the agency for 20 years or 20 days. We should be focusing on that. Do you feel there's a combination of the two?
Absolutely. I think it's a both and issue, right? We have not completed our analysis and made recommendations based on these cases, right, with regard to any of the systems, right? We certainly had recommendations last year with regard to homeschooling because we had previously investigated that. But yes, we have to look at both, right? These are not simple issues that are solved with one thing, right? We have to look at sort of the complexity of it and try to make changes in terms of how DCF operates, as well as the homeschooling issue, right? It's not one or the other from our perspective. We have to work on both issues. And we need to be, you know, for our work, we want to be very thorough and very thoughtful about what are the changes with respect to DCF or other systems that are going to make a difference. And we want to be able to provide meaningful recommendations to the legislature.
And when we say that we need to look at homeschooling, I've always said that I think if you pull back the lens, to me, I think it's how DCF handles homeschooling. I don't have that perspective, and I'm not about to, you know, make anybody feel like I'm attacking them by any stretch.
Right.
But, you know, I do look at, and I hate to keep using the examples because, as you mentioned, the investigations aren't complete yet. But when you look at both the examples of this year, at least this one in New Britain, there, I mean, this poor girl was literally born into a family where her mother was already serving time when she was born. Mm-hmm. So I think if you're going to then pull a kid, even if they have a criminal record or they've had DCF involved at some point, to me, that is a no-brainer that if you have any sort of, I think, a record, it should be looked at that DCF in some regard is involved with check-ins in those homeschooling situations. To me, I don't know why we wouldn't have bipartisan agreement on that.
Right. So, you know, what I want to say about the homeschooling, I mean, first of all, there are lots of people that homeschool and do an amazing job.
Fantastic. I
absolutely
debated it. I would not
absolutely
be good at it, but it's incredible, honestly.
Right. And there are people who they do amazing job. They educate their children. They are engaged with community, and they're doing great things for their kids. And they don't want their children in public school for a variety of reasons. And they have a right to do that. We are not, as the Office of Child Advocate, saying that they should not be able to homeschool their children. What we are concerned about is our current system requires only that the parents say they're homeschooling. That's literally all that we're requiring right now. And so there are people who say they're homeschooling who are not, in fact, homeschooling, right? And our view is children have a right to an education, and they have a right to be free from abuse and neglect. And so we need some kind of system to make sure that people who say they're homeschooling are, in fact, providing their children with education, and that the children are okay. And so and I think, you know, this, I have heard this question of if someone had, could we have a system where if there's a prior history, right, then those families would be looked at in a different way. And I think I understand the reason for that, but it also presents challenges because the only way to do that is just to essentially screen every single homeschooler to determine if they have a background, right? Because schools don't always know, right?
How would they know if I serve time? They may not know. Right.
Right. And so it's complicated, right?
It presents some
complications. And so trying to figure out a system, and we proposed some things last year, but there may be other good ideas, but there needs to be something to ensure that children are getting an education and that they're free from abuse and neglect.
Yeah.
And we do need to look at DCF, right? And what DCF does when there's an allegation of educational neglect, some of that is connected to how do we define what educational neglect is? What does it mean? What does it mean if you're saying homeschool? What are you responsible to do? Because that's part of what DCF has to assess, right? Is are you doing what you're supposed to do for homeschool? So if we have no rules, it makes that challenging. So it's a combination, and we need sort of a layered approach to be thinking about how we protect kids.
Yeah. Christina Gio, I really look forward to hearing more from you and connecting. Unfortunately, we have run out of time, but I appreciate at least this initial conversation with you, and I look forward to continuing hearing more from you and certainly you know, seeing what the future holds in this role as well. Christina Gio, thank you so much. Again, nominated as Connecticut's Child Advocate right here on WICC.